Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a difference in the world. We're going to explore many different important aspects and areas of life, including business, finances, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and many more important topics. Our broadcast team so far consists of Michael Collins, author of Ushering in the Golden Age and a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor, Taylor Tagg, he's author of Enrich Your Sunrise, also a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor, Ray Stendel, also a Napoleon Hill instructor. He was one of the speakers with me at the recent Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia. And Davia Blekiu provides entertainment for casinos, colleges, universities, and trade shows, as well as my friend Tracy Montgomery out of Calgary, Alberta. She's an author on ebooks on dating and relationships that have generated close to 20,000 downloads so far. My name is Tom Tutall Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I'm also a regular contributor to their weekly newsletter, and I recently spoke at the 2012 Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra, who was the keynote speaker for that event. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 44 years now, and I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced and been about hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1". That's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. And I'm also a senior research director for the Canadian Business Journal, which is a digital-only publication that is the official and only media partner of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. Find out more about me, my website, it's tom2andtall, T-A-L-L.com. My guest today is my great friend Courtney Carroll. He's an established athlete. He played college football, and he's a third-degree karate black belt. He extrapolates his experiences from the athletic world to the financial world, and his speeches, while captivating and motivational, are also educational and provide a clear path to financial fitness. Courtney provides financial fitness training for his clients by getting them to first look at their personal philosophy about money, and then through ongoing coaching and support, he educates his clients on the importance of taking responsibility for their personal financial future. His passion for helping others navigate the space of personal finance was born from watching his own family struggle financially. Courtney now teaches others about the importance of saving more, reducing their expenses, protecting their money, and investing in one of 3 vehicles for wealth creation in order to create a financially secure future. Courtney has taken clients from renters to homeowners, from massive consumer debt to becoming financially stable with peace of mind, and from bankruptcy to real estate investors. In addition to being an author and a motivational speaker, Courtney also works to empower future leaders as a principal with the Toronto District School Board. Welcome to the show today, Courtney. How are you?
Hey, Tom. I'm very good. Thank you so much for asking.
I'm glad to have you on the show. When I first met, I hold a number of people in very high regard, and anyone who has a black belt in a martial art is one of those people I really hold in high regard. And anyone who's a principal, especially looking after the youth and young kids of today, that's a major responsibility. You have a lot of great futures in your hands, and so, boy, that's a great combination. So that's a lot of respect from me for both those things that you do. And now the financial fitness aspect of it, probably the thing that people think about more than any other thing during their 40 to 60,000 thoughts a day is probably their finances. Wouldn't you agree?
I would certainly agree, Phil. And I think you're seeing more and more of that right now based on the economy, that this has become a priority for most people. And hopefully they're starting to take stock and see, you know what, they've got to make some changes if they're going to finish financially secure.
And you have a great example for people, because you weren't born with that silver spoon in your mouth. You became sort of an expert and passionate about financial fitness because you didn't see a lot of it growing up. And so you had to kind of forge your own path. It wasn't so much something you learned from your parents or from your surroundings. So you had to go out and learn a lot of this on your own. And, you know, that's always a good place to come from when you're advising others financially, that they know that you've had to learn these things yourself. It wasn't something you just educated yourself on.
Definitely, I agree with you there. I think there's something to be said when you've got worldly experiences that you can draw from, that people can say, you know what, I can relate to what this guy's saying. He's been there. He's not just speaking from theory. He's actually applied the disciplines himself, and he's now seeing some results in his life. And that's why I kind of want to bring that forward to people to say, regardless of where you are, you don't have to stay stuck there, but you have to have a vision for what you want more than what you're already reaping.
Exactly. Now, you know, because of my Napoleon Hill affiliation, that I almost always ask people when they first read the book Think and Grow Rich and who suggested it to them. Now, I know you've read the book.
I have read the book. You know, it's funny. About 5 years ago, Tom, I was looking and searching to develop myself as an individual. I think so much about personal development. And one of the great teachers on personal development is a gentleman by the name of Jim Rohn, who I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yeah.
And it was listening to Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar in one of their many series. I think it was Jim Rohn's series on how to live your best life ever. He highlighted some real books that he believed were instrumental in moving anyone forward. And one of the books he recommended on his book list was Think and Grow Rich. It's the first time I'd heard of Think and Grow Rich, going back about 5 years ago. And I decided, you know what, this gentleman is someone I admire, certainly in the field of personal development. And I spent a lot of time traveling back and forth to work in the car. And also at the time I was looking at real estate as a possible vehicle for wealth creation for myself and my family. And so I decided to, rather than buying the book in itself, I decided to buy the CD sets because I spent so much time in the car and I wanted to read the book and kind of get the teachings as quickly as possible. So that's what I did. And I've listened to that CD over and over and over on many trips out of town. So it's been an instrumental pickup for me over the years.
Wow. Now, you had mentioned, I'd mentioned in the intro that you are a martial artist, a black belt, and you also played college football. And to me, why I admire people with a black belt so much is that you must learn and undergo so much to become a black belt holder that you must be able to apply it in business, things like self-discipline and hard work and making no excuses. And, you know, a lot of the resilience and determination goes into getting a black belt. And so I would think that the lessons you learn in that and in college football, where it's a team sport, you must learn a lot from that, or you must have learned a lot from those two things that you can really apply to success in not only physical fitness but also financial fitness.
Well, definitely. I believe sports mirrors life in a lot of ways. And, you know, when I started off in the martial arts, you know, I went in with a pretty open, or what I would say, empty cup. And having an empty cup means you're willing to learn. You don't go in there with the pretense that you have it all and that you know it all. Especially in the martial arts, there's so much to the sport. We call it a discipline for a reason, because if you go in there with the intention that you're going to get your black belt in a year, well, good luck. It takes years of dedication. It takes years of discipline, and it takes years of being humble to the teaching of the instructors that you have in your corner. So you're right. The disciplines that came from being in the gym, being in the dojo, constantly working on your skill sets, having a long-term vision that, you know, you understood that it wasn't something that was going to come overnight. It wasn't going to come in a year or two, but it was going to be the consistent approach to working on that craft, to listening to the mentors, to following the instructions and correcting along the way that eventually gets you there. And it's the same thing in life, regardless of what it is. It's listening to the coaching, tweaking where you need to, and then following through with the suggestions that will get you success eventually.
Exactly, and that's exactly the correlation there, and especially with financial fitness, because that's something you got to watch out for on a daily, weekly basis. And so in your book, upcoming book, you mentioned that people can achieve financial fitness in as little as 5 to 10 years, 15 years tops, if they follow your teaching. Now, this is exciting for people, let's say, in their mid-40s. They're getting to an age where they really haven't started yet. And people might think, oh, how am I going to retire comfortably with this little bit of time left? And so you're saying 5 to 10, 15 years tops. And you could help people with your teachings to become financially fit. Give us some examples and tell us some of the things that that you recommend for people to do.
All right, Tom. You know, I definitely believe that within 10 to 15 years, you can set yourself up for a financially fit life. You know, many of us have grown up listening to the teachings of Robert Kiyosaki, and Kiyosaki talks about financial freedom. Financial freedom being defined as where your monthly passive inflow of cash exceeds your monthly expenses. Now, I'm not saying this is going to be easy for most people. In fact, it will be very difficult, but it is very possible. One of the things that happens in most of our lives, when we get to our middle years, we realize that, you know what, some of the philosophies that we've developed along our path is not really sound, especially when it comes to our financial lives. Many people kind of just go through the motion. They follow the masses, spending more than they earn, not putting anything away for their future. If you're in your 40s like I was when I started this, then you realize that you're running out of time. And there are three things that allows you to successfully navigate the space of finances. One of them is having enough time in the market. The second one is having a good, solid rate of return. And the third piece being having enough investments as far as amount of dollars that you invest in the market. When you're 40, you don't have time on your side anymore. So you're going to have to invest a lot more. In my book, I talk about the importance of putting away 20% of your monthly income towards your future wealth, especially if you're in your 40s. If you're in your 20s, yeah, you can get away with 10 and still, you know, still succeed. But if you're in your 30s and 40s, you're going to have to put a lot more away if you're going to do the things that I'm suggesting. So 20% if you're in your 40s definitely is where you need to go. It's not easy by any means, but it is possible. And so when I speak about that in the book, one of the vehicles I use and that's really been beneficial to me is buying real estate. So I'm going to give you a quick example, Tom. So for example, let's say that $3,000 is the total amount of money you need to cover all your monthly expenses, and as defined, the amount of money coming in exceeds the expenses going out.
Right.
Well, how would you do that? Well, you know what? I invest in real estate, and it's not unreasonable to expect that if you buy a property, you can have a cash flow, which is a surplus after all expenses have been met, to have $300 cash flow coming in. Well, if you can buy one property per year at $300 coming in, within 10 years, you are financially free. If you wanted to do it in 5 years, well, you buy two properties in 1 year, and in 5 years you are financially free based on our definition. Now, a lot of people will say, well, that's ridiculous. How can I buy two properties per year? Well, I can tell you it's not ridiculous because I've done it. You can't look at just what's available in front of you. Most people make the mistake of seeing only what's in front of them and not what's possible. You can't buy these things in Toronto, for example, but you can look outside at small-town Ontario and find wonderful properties for $20,000 down that will give you $500 return. So through looking outside the box and thinking of what's possible, you can find those opportunities, and I'm here to tell you that it is possible because I've done it.
Wow, and you're so right. I'm going to the Ottawa Valley this long weekend, towns like Killaloe and Eganville, and you can buy properties there for not a lot compared to a Toronto property or a big city Canada property, and they rent out for a good amount of money as well. And so I know it's possible to buy a couple of properties a month, and in my 20s I used to buy properties a lot. Now, why I think it would be so important for people to work with you one-on-one on this is that you can make money and you can create that financial fitness with real estate. However, there's a lot of pitfalls along the way. Mine that I encountered was property management. I'm not a real tough guy as far as property management, made some mistakes about renting to friends and a few other mistakes. And so Excellent idea. I love real estate, but I think people would be better to work with you one-on-one so that they have someone to kind of back-check their what they're going through and the processes that, they're going through and their thinking so that you could warn them if it's not a good property, but also give them the go-ahead if you think, yeah, this fits all the great parameters, right?
That's so true, and I think you made a very good statement there about property management. It's one of the most critical pieces of your business. You know, if you don't have the right person managing your property, you can really get taken to the cleaners. And I had an experience, unfortunately for me, but, you know, in our negative experiences, you pull from them some positive things as well. And I had a situation with a property in Windsor that just wasn't working out. And part of the reason was I took my eyes off the prize and assumed everything was good with this individual that I contracted to manage the property. So I've learned over the time that, you know, it is your business and you got to be involved in your business at all time with the people that you contract to do the work for you. And you basically got to watch over them. So there's a lot of things to learn, and you're right. For the most people getting into this will say, you know what, I don't want to be a landlord, I don't want to take the headaches, and there's a lot to learn about the property, and that's one of the things I can do. I certainly can bring that knowledge and experience to the forefront where I can help them move themselves from, you know, someone who is not invested to someone who understands the process later on.
Exactly.
So it's a great way of doing that as well.
And I would recommend it so much. When I was in my 20s, I took a Raymond Aron course. I bought a number of properties. And then all my friends who said I was crazy and couldn't do it when I first started paying me to help them find properties and put the deals together. And so, you know, it's good to have someone with that experience, because you may come across as, first few properties, you don't want to discourage yourself. And so it's good to work with someone like yourself who can point out problem areas ahead of time so that their first few property investments are positive ones where they get a positive vibe and positive results and positive cash flow. And so important in that industry to work with someone who really knows what they're doing. And now, Courtney, there's a lot of books on finances. I've read a few and a bunch, and some will say one thing and some will say another, kind of like nutrition. There's a lot of different financial books and advice. What prompted you to write a book yourself on financial fitness?
Well, you know, as you said in the introduction, and we talked a little bit about this, Tom, I don't come from a family with money. I come from a family that's made some major mistakes when it comes to their personal finance. I've had a mom who's very ambitious. My brother passed away from an accident, and we lived in Ontario housing, and she wanted nothing to do with living in the same house anymore. So she wanted to buy a property and move out. Unfortunately, she bought a property at the peak of the real estate boom in the 1980s. Totally ill-advised, didn't have the financial support to do it, had others who co-signed for it. And so eventually we ended up moving and living way above our means. And she ended up losing the house. My sister got garnished on that property because she had co-signed. And so we saw a lot of devastation that happened in my family. And I was actually, unfortunately, walking down the same financial tightrope as they were, because that's all I was modeling. I was seeing what they were doing, and I was modeling the same things. But it's after I started looking at things differently, I said, you know what, there's got to be a better way. And I started hanging around with people who were doing things in their lives financially, who were going to seminars and learning things about money. And I started reading some books. And the first book that got me kind of looking at the financial fitness piece was Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I said, you know what, there's a better way. So why not find out how to make it happen for my family? So I started applying some of the teachings and the theory in the book, Think and Grow Rich, and also with Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I started to see some success. I started buying properties, things started working out for me, and I said, you know, one of the best things you can do in life is to pay it forward. When you benefited from something and it's made an impact in your life, and it's also made an impact in the lives of others that I've worked with in their financial lives as well, I say, why not pay it forward? And the best thing I thought I could do was to write what I've done, successes and failures, not just of myself, but those who've also done it.
Yeah.
Pass it on to the market. And this is why I'm writing this book. just to give others the opportunity to say, you know what, if I've done it, you can do it as well, because I came from nothing and I'm now in a better position. I'm not where I want to be, Tom, but I'm on my way, and I know I've got a long-term goal for what I want, and that is to help as many people as possible navigate that space successfully.
Right, and being like a principal, you have a lot of teacher in you, so you want to help people avoid the pain of what your family went through, and also, you know, you come across enough younger people that if you get them to get a hold of these principles, boy, you can make like a generational impact on some young person in their 20s when you get them to read and follow your principles. And boy, that could be worth more than whatever that person would pay you for your services. And so that is, you know, an incredible gift to have learned it and now to be able to teach it to other people. And what you had mentioned something earlier, I put a big wrote it down and I underlined it. You mentioned philosophies, and philosophies is also a kind of a word for beliefs. And as you know, Jim Rohn and Napoleon Hill, this is what it all comes down to, the beliefs and the philosophies that you have about real estate investing. You had mentioned some of them. People say, well, I can't buy real estate. I live in Toronto, and I don't have enough down payment, and I don't know how to manage property. Or if you grow up in a family where, you know, good financial values are not modeled and spoken about, you could believe that this is the way that you and your family are meant to be. And so just by helping people change their philosophies and their beliefs so that they can see that, yeah, this guy is right, 5 to 10 years, like 10 years, that's really not a lot to really commit to solid financial fitness. And so that's something important that you're teaching people as well, to change their philosophies and beliefs. Are there some specific philosophies that you come across that are erroneous that you have to really help people change and you know, improve?
Thanks, Tom. I think you've hit it on the head there. The philosophy, or what we call the, you know, the context, or we call it the paradigm, if you think back to, you know, some of the teachings that you've heard, is definitely a key piece. And I think one of the philosophies that people have to change is to think that wealth is something that's created in a quantum leap. There's no such thing as quantum leap. You know, everything that we have, everything that's worthwhile takes time, it takes discipline, and it takes a consistent, going after it for it to materialize. Same thing with your fitness, same thing with your wealth. So I think that's one of the big philosophies. And the error that most people make as well is to believe that, as you said, you know, I can't. And I try to get people to go away from the word I can't and say, how is it possible? What can I do? Because the answers are there, but the answers will only come when you ask that question, how can I? Because the creative process starts to unfold when you ask the right questions. The minute you say I can't, then the subconscious shuts down and locks off things for you. So in the book, I talk a lot about the philosophies of how to change things, and it's the small, simple things that we do on a daily basis that will have the most dramatic impact. It's not the quantum leap. It's not the overnight success. There is no such thing. So in the book, there's embedded a lot of that, a lot of that teaching about the importance of the daily disciplines that need to occur in your life.
And those are so important, those daily disciplines and thoughts and beliefs that you have to have, because as you mentioned, it wouldn't be easy in 10 years to change your financial fitness. You really have to believe that it's possible to save 20% of your income, and you have to believe that it's possible to buy one or two properties a year. And not everybody has that belief. However, there's enough examples in Canada alone of people who have done it with less than whatever anyone else starts out with, so that if you help them with that belief, then they know that, hey, that person was just average like me and they did it, so I can be average too, and I can, you know, do the same thing. It's not that they had more talent or skills. It's just that they had a better belief system and philosophy about what they thought was possible financially.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. Just to give you a quick example, you talk about, you know, individuals starting off with not a lot of money. Back a few years ago, you could buy a property for 10% down. That's changed. The government's gone in, and they've changed it to 20% now. But my first property, Tom, when I bought my first property, it was $6,100. That's correct. $6,100 is what I paid for a duplex in small town Ontario. Now,
wow.
That $6,100 was returning a net profit of $300 a month. Okay, that's positive cash flow. I later on ended up refinancing that property, pulled out $15,000, more than what I paid for it, and still cash flow $300. So it doesn't matter. You have to start somewhere. I've got a young girl that's worked with me, a young lady, I should say. She's 27 years old now, and she started with me about 3 years ago. She's now on her seventh property with me. And again, this individual also understands the importance of philosophy. So some of the books I read, some of the tapes I listen to, I push that forward on her as well. And it's made all the difference because she has a long-term goal and for creating financial fitness for herself and her family, and she's well on her way at 27. I wish I was at 27 with seven properties in my name because it will make all the difference in her life and for her family as well. So
wow.
These are important things for people to understand. It doesn't matter where you are right now. You got to see beyond what's there to what is possible.
Yeah. Wow, and these joint ventures that you form with people are kind of like a mastermind group because now you're teaching them about the books and the audios and the mentors that you've had to get the philosophy and thinking right, but then you're also side-by-side with them on some of these joint venture real estate properties where now you're not just giving advice, you're putting yourself on the line as well in the investment. And so this is a real, not only a business venture, a joint venture, but a mastermind venture to work with you as well, isn't it?
That's correct, yeah.
You want to make sure that you have people's philosophies and thinking right, as well as going through the process of helping them find and invest in real estate. Now, there's other things other than real estate. Are there some other tips or things that people could do that will also be part of that long-term or 10-year financial fitness plan?
Well, definitely. I think it's important, and your philosophy, your confidence in what you're doing has a direct impact on whether or not you're going to be successful. I believe
yes.
Your attitude and how you think shapes what comes back in your life. If you believe that you can't do real estate, then you know what? You're going to make mistakes along the way because you're going to end up focusing on the things you can't do rather than the things you can. And, you know, the philosophy, as we know, the law of attraction gives you exactly what you believe. When it comes to investing for your future, real estate is only one vehicle. In the book, I highlight three different vehicles. I highlight the importance of business ownership. That could be small business. It could be, you know, picking up a franchise if you've got the money to do that. Or it could be simply finding yourself an MLM business, a multi-level marketing business.
Mm-hmm.
That's easy to get into, very minimal cost. But, you know, there are many people who have taken on that route and have done quite well for themselves financially. I also believe strongly in the stock market. Most of my money goes into real estate right now because it's tangible, it's something I believe in, it's something I know. I know it more than I do the real estate, more than I do the stock market. But the stock market is also a wonderful place to put your money if you have the right advice. And as you said earlier, there's so many books on finances and there's so many advisors about the stock market. So you'd have to be very careful in doing your research and get the proper information to invest in that. But the stock market, even though we've had, you know, volatile times right now, there's still people there doing extremely well because they've got the right philosophy,
yes.
They've got the right mindset, and they've got the right coaching and subscriptions and some wonderful newsletters out there that gives them the right information, not the stuff that you hear on the TV on a daily basis.
Exactly. And so important to have the right information when you're into a topic like that, real estate, where good money to be made, but also challenges along the way. So you really want to make sure you have the right advice. Now, who did you write this book for? Who should be reading it? Who's the right target market for this book, and why should they be reading it?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. Initially, when I started the book, about 3 years ago, I was under the impression that I wanted to speak to the youth, and that was where the idea was born, to speak to the youth. You talked about what would happen if a 20-year-old got themselves with this book and started reading the philosophies, understanding it, putting enough of their money away for safekeeping and investing that money, protecting it, how well they can end up in their retirement. As I started writing the book, I realized that, you know what, as much as the 20-year-olds and those in college and high school could benefit, I find that everyone could benefit from this, regardless of where you are in your financial journey, whether or not you're a six-figure income earner, whether or not you are someone who's just making the bare minimum, or someone who's struggling to get by. It doesn't really matter, because what's different about this book is a philosophy that we talked about, the philosophy for success, not just in the financial realm, but in all aspects of your life. And I think anyone who is now looking to move their lives to the next level, whether it be financial, physical, spiritual, relationship, can understand from the philosophies in this book, if they adopt those philosophies, they'll be successful. So this book is written for the general market, mainly adults, high school, university, and those in the workforce. But as I said, it's not targeted to any one specific age demographic.
Exactly. Now, Courtney, we've talked a lot about money, and people will think, well, this guy knows a lot about money, but I also know you're a really good person. And so let's talk a little bit about you teach young people martial arts, don't you? And you've done it for quite some time on a volunteer basis as well, isn't it?
That is true.
And a lot of hours goes into that. How do you find these students, and where do you teach them, and how long have you been doing that? Because that's a great thing to volunteer and teach people as well, because they're learning more than a martial art. They're learning a lot of other disciplines in the process.
Oh, definitely. And I think giving back is important. And, in the book I speak to the importance of charity. That's one of the chapters. And you cannot overlook the importance of that. And I highlight some of the successes that I've had in the martial arts and how giving to the martial arts has come back to help me. The martial arts is something I got into about 19 years ago. And as a young student growing up in high school, I grew up watching Bruce Lee and, wanting to be like Bruce Lee. And for many years, I worked as a personal trainer at the YMCA, but never took the time to get involved in the martial arts. And it wasn't after I gave up working at the YMCA that I decided, you know what, maybe I should go and take some classes. So I went in there, totally open vessel, like I said, just open cup, willing to learn. I'd seen so many people doing it before, and the club seemed to be flourishing. There were some good people there. I decided to go and check it out. And what became of that was 19 years of being in the martial arts. And about, I would say, 9 years ago or so, probably a little bit longer now, after I received my first Dan grade and my first black belt, I was asked by one of the instructors if I'd be willing to teach a class there. And I thought nothing of it. I said, for sure, I'd love to. Because one of the things we know is the more you teach something, the more you understand it.
Right.
And it was a way for me to give back to the club, for those who had given me so much of their time and their energy, and for me to help those coming along. And there's nothing greater, Tom, than knowing you've had a hand in someone else's success. And, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of hours. I'm at the gym usually 3-4 times a week, sometimes 3 hours. But I love the teaching, and I love what comes of it, because I see the results, and the people who I work with appreciate it. And that's what you want. You want people to appreciate what you do for them on a daily basis. And as long as I know people are happy and making progress, then I'm happy doing what I do.
Wow, and it's so much Napoleon Hill. It's one of their top four principles, going the extra mile. Andrew Carnegie said that that was the major principle upon which he built his wealth, and at the time was the world's wealthiest man, was by going the extra mile. And people think about going the extra mile at work, come early, stay late. Going the extra mile is doing what you're doing, like 3 times a week, 3 hours a night after a long day. You're a principal too. So I know I have a hard time going to work out for an hour at the gym after work because I'm tired. Now you're going to teach young people for 3 hours. And so, that comes back to reward you. Somehow God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, rewards people who give of themselves like yourself. And you'd mentioned giving, but it's harder to give time than it is to give money. You can donate $20 online in like 3 minutes. Doesn't take you a lot to do that, and most people can. But to week after week, year after year, devote 3 nights a week, 3 hours at a time to help young people, boy, that says a lot about where your heart is at.
You know, you find your strength and you find your passion, and once you have a passion, you don't really realize the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I teach for about an hour of that. I still take instructions from my sensei, you know, hour and a half while I'm there. And the other aspect of what I do within that three-hour time lot is my own personal fitness. So along with the martial arts, I still take time to do my cardio, to do my weight training, and so forth. So that encompasses the whole 3 hours. But my class, as far as what I teach, usually is about 4 or 5 hours a week is what I commit to my students. And it's been rewarding. And like I said, I can't think of anything else. Most people know on a Friday night, if they want to do something with me, it's not going to happen. Why? Because it's Friday night fights. I'm in the gym training with my guys, you know. So I don't really give up Friday nights for many things. You know, it's hard to get me to move away from a Friday night. Even if I'm going out of town on a long trip, like I just went to Sault Ste. Marie last weekend to look at some properties, I'm still in the gym. And I'm in the gym till like 11:30 at night, 12 o'clock sometimes, working with the guys. So
wow.
You enjoy, so you do it.
And you're a principal with the Toronto District School Board. So first of all, I think of a principal, it's like managing a small business. You got teachers, you got students, you got parents. And as I get older, my patience wears a little thin. I have a great positive attitude, but I don't think I could stand the griping and moaning and the groaning and the challenges. And what an amazing position, because not only you have to put up with managing all those different people, but you have an opportunity to impact and change some thoughts, beliefs, philosophies, and lives of people who are kids who are at that school during that time. And so what a big responsibility. that must also require some thinking on nights and weekends and some overtime with your thoughts about how to be a principal of a school and you know, deliver the results for students and for teachers to make it a rewarding career as well. Tell me a little bit about being a principal.
Well, you know, it's a rewarding career, and you're right. There are lots of challenges with the responsibility that's been given to me, but it's something that I certainly moved towards. Once I started teaching, I knew within the first 5 years of my teaching career that I wanted more. And as you said, it was an opportunity to get into the lead, into the administrative field, to be able to influence others, especially the kids. In my class, as a teacher, I had the impact over 30 kids, roughly, and I could make sure that I molded them into what I wanted. My philosophies were always brought forward in the classroom, but I felt very limited in that way. And very early in my career, I set a goal that I wanted to be a principal and that I've always wanted to be a principal. And as we said, there's been a little storm around here. So
electrical storm in Toronto.
Yes, yes. But as we said, through Napoleon Hill, what the mind focuses on, the longest becomes the strongest, and I knew exactly I wanted to be a principal. So eventually I moved myself in the direction of that, but everything you have in life, Tom, comes through the assistance of others, and I'm not in the position I am right now without the assistance of some wonderful people who mentored me along the way, administrators who were doing things way before I got into teaching, who kind of guided me and mentored me to be the person I am today. So it's been very rewarding, working with wonderful teachers in the buildings and incredible students and incredible parents in the community. And, you know, I just love what I do, and I'm always excited about going in and seeing the kids move and grow. So nothing but positive things to say about the teaching profession.
Oh, wow. And yet we won't go into all the challenges, but I know that being a principal at a high school, there must be like 987 different challenges in a given week. So many things that happen with kids at that age and at that stage in their life, and the different challenges they encounter. So I'm getting just tired just thinking of all the things you do, because being a principal, and then you're at the gym 3 nights a week, and you're driving to Sault Ste. Marie to buy real estate or look at real estate properties, and then you're working with clients on the side to help them generate their own financial fitness. Boy, you really must be passionate about all those things that you do, because you're not getting a lot of rest in your life, and you're doing a lot of things. So they all are very close to your heart, being a principal, being a martial arts teacher, and guiding people to financial fitness, which can impact them as much or more than anything else you're doing. What are some ways that people can reach you? You're in the Toronto area. Do you work with people outside of the Toronto area? How can people find your website? How can people reach you?
The easiest way to reach me is through my email. People can reach me at ccfitfinancials@gmail.com. That's ccfitfinancials@gmail.com. Or they can reach me by phone, 647-967-9876. 647-967-9876. They can also reach me on my blog, which is CourtneyCarroll.com. CourtneyCarroll.com. There they'll see a lot of the writings that I've done and so forth. My Gmail channel is CC Financials as well, where some videos have been posted. And so it's easy to find me. It's just Google Courtney Carroll. You'll find information on me. And that's probably the easiest way for people to get in touch with me. As far as working with clients, most of the people I've worked with as far as bringing financial solutions for are here in the GTA, but it's not impossible to work with people over the phone or through the Internet. I mean, the Internet's allowed us to work with anyone anywhere. And
exactly.
Regardless of where you are, you know, situations are what they are. People are in different situations financially, whether they're over their heads in financial, consumer debt. There are always solutions, and sometimes it's just in front of them that they just can't see. So one of the things they do is, first of all, take a look at where they are personally with their finances and what strategies they've tried to use, and then look for solutions beyond what they've already tried. So that's
exactly.
What they do, whether it's on the phone or over the Internet.
Exactly. I'm going to just expand your business for you, because I think anyone in Canada, at least, because the real estate investing you've done is in Canada, different rules in the U.S., but anyone in Canada, even if you're in Vancouver, British Columbia, as you said, with the Internet, Skype, and phone, if someone needs help analyzing a deal, real estate deal, finding a deal, questions on real estate, they should still work with you. Phone and Skype and Internet works all the same. So don't if you don't live in the Toronto area, you still better work with Courtney Carroll, especially if you're in the real estate investing frame of mind, because that would be the most valuable, from my experience, service is to work with someone like yourself when you're first getting into real estate, to make sure the first 3 or 4 or 5 attempts are positive for you, so that you don't get discouraged and quit. Now tell me about your book. When is it coming out? When is it going to be available? And how can people buy a copy of it?
Well, thank you. The book is titled The Financial Fitness Blueprint, and it's coming out in, I would assume it's 2 to 3 weeks. It's right now with the printers at the publisher. It's being published through iUniverse, which is a company in the States. It's going to be available in Chapters Indigo. Online, you can find it at Amazon.com, KuboBooks.com, Borders.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Google.com. So a lot of the different online stores that you can get it at. But it will be available in Chapters here in Toronto within the next 2 to 3 weeks, I'm assuming. So I will keep you posted on that, Tom, because the publisher has not given me a definite print date as far as
yeah.
It will be distributed. But we're close to distribution of the book, The Financial Fitness Blueprint.
Nice. Well, I will be keeping my listeners and my social media people updated on when that comes out, and I'm going to be recommending it to a lot of people. Thanks for your time today, Courtney. I really appreciate it. As I mentioned, I admire anyone who's a black belt. I admire anyone who gives their time to volunteer, because that's harder than giving money. I super admire anyone who's a principal at a high school. And then the topic that is your purpose and passion to help people with financial fitness, again, has the opportunity to make a bigger difference in their lives and in the generations of people and their family after that than pretty well anything else they could possibly do. So in my books, I'm a big fan of yours, and keep up the good work, because you're making a big impact on a lot of people in a lot of different areas.
Well, I appreciate it, Tom, and I thank you so much for having me as a guest on your show. I really appreciated having the discussion with you, and look forward to good things and continued success on your end, and we'll keep you posted with the book as soon as it's launched.
Very good, and I'll be one of the first people to purchase it.
Thanks so much.
Take care. Have a great day.
You too.